Good morning to everybody. I'm going to talk about different things that what we heard this morning. Naftali concentrated on soil and water, and Daniel on trees and remote sensing. I'm going to talk about crop water needs through thermal imaging, using the plants as the indicator. I'm going to do a very brief introduction of what we know up to now, what were the challenges, and what we are doing in order to solve those challenges. Today, we know that thermal imaging can well estimate water status variability in various crops. We've seen it in many presentations, many works. And there are also methodologies for mapping the crop water stress index in a commercial scale. So these technologies and these methodologies can be used to delineate in-season irrigation management zones. In order to do that, we need high-resolution thermal images that we've used. And we can then find the within-field water status variability and delineate the zones. And here we have an example of a field that has, this is the temperature of the canopy. Then we can make decisions every irrigation plot or delineate zones according to the water status of the field. Now, the variable rate irrigation systems today, they assume that the management zones are static. Most of them use soil parameters or constant parameters as parameters to delineate the zones. And according to those parameters, they calculate prescription maps of how to irrigate every zone. We have found, and we believe, that the irrigation management zones are dynamic, and they change in the season, and we can follow those changes by using remote sensing within the season. So in the variable rate irrigation systems, the weak link today is how to find those irrigation management zones during the season. And here we have an example of some fields that the variability in water status, which is indicated by different colors here, changes during the season. Now, how can this be done? In order to do that, in most of the works that there are in the world, they use high resolution thermal imaging. High resolution thermal imaging is limited by the cover, the area that can be covered, and the cost. So if we look at the different options, we can either have a large cover area, and then we have usually low spatiotemporal resolution, which are the satellites. And when we go to a high spatiotemporal resolution, then we usually have a small cover area, and there are more expensive systems. So this delineation of dynamic irrigation management zones is limited by the technologies here. If we compare the thermal range with the visible and infrared range, those two columns here, the thermal and visible infrared, we see that in the thermal range, the capabilities are much lower than the visible. For example, in the visible and infrared, we have sensors of 20 megapixels. In the thermal, we hardly have 1 megapixel. They are much heavier. They have a spatial resolution from satellites from 60 to 120 meters compared to 1 to 20 to the visible. The revisit time of the satellite is about 16 days and compared to 1 to 5 days with the visible and infrared. So we have to overcome those constraints, and the challenge here is to facilitate large-scale adoption of in-season precision irrigation management, so mainly based on thermal images. So we here propose three different approaches: a direct approach of how to create thermal imaging platforms, aerial thermal imaging platforms with high resolution, an indirect method of how to use satellite images, thermal combined with visible and infrared, and I'll explain each one of them, and a combined method that uses both aerial and satellite images. So the first approach is the direct improvement of aerial images, is to take the sensors that we have today and use super resolution methodologies in order to increase the actual resolution. What we can do is take pictures or images, multiple images with sub-pixel differences between them, and using this redundant information, we can produce one image in higher resolution. This is a known method in different areas, usually within the visible range, that we can produce images with high resolution by taking redundant information in known conditions. Taking images from airplanes, it's difficult to manage this controlled conditions of acquiring the image. So we have some methods that we want to use. One is to use random location errors, which was proposed by Alam in 2000. We want to use the defocus mechanism to produce this redundant information. And we have some initial results that show that using these mechanisms, we can produce images that they are with high resolution with those with the sensors that we have today. The second approach is the indirect approach, is the known sharpening approach, when we take satellite images, thermal images, and also images from the visible and the infrared range, and we use the high resolution information in the infrared and visible range, and we sharpen, we make the resolution of the thermal images better. So we can cover large areas by satellites, and we can improve the basic resolution of the thermal images. This has been done in the past. Today, the challenge is to use the new platforms that they exist, Sentinel 2 and 3. The Sentinel 2 has a revisit time of approximately 5 days compared to 16 days previously. And we have to find what is the best way of sharpening the thermal images. But because of the large scale and the big pixels, this technique does not suit crops that they have very narrow rows or crops that they do not have full cover. And we have to find out what is the limit here of using this method. This is an example of using the NDVI map in order to find and to produce a sharpened surface temperature in the same resolution as the NDVI. It's obvious that the more fine we make the resolution of the thermal image, the less accurate is the temperature. I'll skip that. And if we take a look at the errors when we make this sharpening process, what we have the y-axis is the error between the sharpened image and the actual temperature. When sharpening to 60 meters, 30 meters, 12 meters, and 1.2 meters spatial resolution, so the finer the resolution of the sharpening, the higher the error we have. Actually, sharpening to 60 and 30 meters, we get an error of about 1 or 2 degrees, which is approximately the same error that we get with the radiometric thermal cameras that we use when we have airborne aerial images. So we can see that even right now, we can have a better resolution in the thermal images. Again, this is suitable for large scale and not small scale farming. When we go to the combined approach, in the combined approach we want to use the advantages of the high resolution aerial imaging and the large scale of coverage of the satellite images. We know and we have seen that we can, there is a certain link and relationship between the information in the visible and near infrared range and the thermal range, but it's not constant, it's not robust. Here we see some examples of the relationship between the thermal based estimation of leaf water potential and the NDVI or NDWI, which are remote sensed indices in the visible and near infrared range. We see that they are very good locally at certain time of a year, a certain point, but there is no global model. So the combined approach is based on the on this fact. And what we propose is to make local in time models that they link between the large scale ability to scan the NDVI and the and the high resolution in thermal images, which is the thermal information. So we have to choose spots that they have wide range of water statuses, scan them, and at the same time have the satellite images and make the local models. So we can have both a large scale coverage and the accurate estimation of the parameters. This is an example of the relationship between the NDVI and the surface temperature in vineyards in the US, in the Gallo research group. And we can see that the link, the relationship between the two is not bad. We have to find ways to make it even better, and if we develop a little bit more, can be used in order to extract information of the leaf of the surface temperature according to NDVI. But this is not all. This is only the beginning. In order to manage irrigation, we need to calculate the crop water stress index, which I will not go into details here, but uses the canopy temperature, minimum and maximum references. And this is something that we have to calculate or estimate or measure. We have developed and also found some techniques to estimate those temperatures, either from histograms of temperatures of large areas, and we can see that the measured and calculated leaf water potential is very well correlated. Either use artificial surfaces or meteorological stations that are used today. All those are options, but still the temperature is not enough. Using the crop water stress index, assuming that we can do that, then we can have to manage irrigation according to that. And then we have again two options. One is crops that we have protocols, irrigation protocols, that they are based on some agricultural parameter like leaf water potential in cotton. And then we can estimate this parameter, leaf water potential, from the thermal data and manage irrigation according to the same protocol. In this case, we've shown that in cotton we can get the same, approximately the same yield with less water, and actually we can increase the water use efficiency. But there are also crops that we do not have protocols. We use other point soil measurements or other things like potatoes. So in this case, we have taken a plot of potatoes. We've taken some thermal images of plots with different water statuses, and we manipulate the crop factor, KC, according to the crop water stress index of each one of the plots. And we try to develop techniques of how to manage irrigation according to the manipulation of crop coefficient. Again, here we have 2 years of experiments where we've compared plots that they were 100% irrigation, which means conventional irrigation. 70% irrigation is deficit irrigation all the season, and the TIR corrected are the plots where we have detected the stress by the thermal imaging, and we have corrected the Kc factor accordingly. So we can see that this correction brings us the detection and correction of the irrigation management brings us back to the maximum potential yield. But still, we have to address all these issues. The two issues that Naftali also mentioned: when to irrigate, can we say something about it with the thermal imaging? Potentially, yes, but online monitoring of the whole spatial area is difficult. How much to irrigate? Thermal imaging alone does not give the answer of how much to irrigate, but provides some feedback for fine-tuning current irrigation techniques. And where to irrigate, I think that the only source of information for delineating irrigation management zones is the thermal imaging. So we have the challenge of producing high-resolution, large-scale radiometric thermal IR imaging in order to get these management zones. We need the ancillary data, meteorology or reference surfaces, in order to calculate the crop water stress index. We either can have or not the irrigation protocols, the direct models with stem water potential or leaf water potential. For some models we have, for some crops we have, or indirect manipulation or management of Kc, of the crop coefficient, like potatoes. Then algorithms for automatic delineation zones is something that is well established and can be used, provided that the correct data is provided. And irrigation systems for providing variable rate irrigation in center pivots and machines is already available commercially. In other systems is being developed. So we have identified that the bottleneck for large-scale commercial application of water management through thermal images is the large-scale acquisition of high-resolution imaging. And we have proposed to here three approaches in order to make it more approachable for commercial companies and also more approachable to farmers. Thank you. I've left plenty of time for questions.
Yes, there's plenty of time. Any questions for Victor?
Variable rate irrigation. No, I didn't see any pivots you were working on, but Susan has done some of this, I think. The thermal cameras on the pivot itself looking ahead, is that something that could be adapted? The models could be adapted to work with? In other words, you've got high spatial resolution.
Yeah. I think that in principle, when you acquire the data, high resolution data, when you go with the pivot, in principle you could translate it to the crop rotor stress index and then to some kind of relationship with what is the correct irrigation management that you have to give. But practically, I think that taking images in an area where irrigation takes place, where there's a lot of droplets, and the the environment is such that I don't think that the measurement would be quite describing the water status of the plant. It has to be quite far from the area where it's irrigated in order to really get the plant in a status where it's can express the water status adequately. I can envision how a thermal camera can be incorporated in 2, 3, 5, or 10 meters from a sprayer that sprays. But in principle, it could. Yes.
How heavy are aerial thermal cameras, and what kind of resolution is possible?
I'll start from the second. What kind of resolution? Spatial, radiometric, temporal?
Spatial resolution.
Spatial. The current available cameras are 640 by 480, 480 pixels, the most common. Today, one can also find the cameras with the 1 megapixel resolution in the thermal. But the spatial resolution depends on the lens of the optics and the height. We took pictures, images with a spatial resolution from 12 centimeters with the UAVs up to 0.5 meter with the aerial, with the airplanes. But the main factor here is the radiometric resolution, which has to be about less than 1.5 degrees, which makes cameras very expensive and quite heavy. If you use the simple cameras that they are used today and they are very common, the radiometric resolution of those cameras is about 5 degrees, at the best case. And actually, if the difference is between the temperature of the leaves in extreme well-watered and when the stressed conditions is about 3 to 4 degrees, then the accuracy of 5 degrees is really marginal. But those cameras are very cheap and light. So they can be used for other things, not water management, but maybe detection of malfunctions of irrigation systems, like binary decisions and local anomalies that they don't really need the radiometric accuracy, but the local variability
yeah,
is enough.
We're more interested in local variability.
Yeah.
So that's how could we do this with our aerial vehicle?
Yeah. Local variability, the word local is here important. Local, if it's 1 hectare, it's all right. If it's 10 hectares, it's marginal, because those cameras just change in time.
I see. For the super resolution images, what kind of software do you use, or did you write one?
We develop our own software, own algorithms and software to do that. Yeah. I think it was the beginning. Dr. Klapp, a new scientist in our department, comes from electro-optics, and he's in his background has done some work on that, and especially exploit the focus-defocus mechanism, which is controlled and then derive some information about redundant information can be used for our super resolution.
Could you use thermally controlled panels to provide local control?
Yes, but you'd have to pass above those panels every minute, which does not make it practical. And those panels are so expensive that you should better go with a radiometric camera. A panel that you can see from above, there is a 10 by 10 or 20 by 20 centimeters, it's ten thousands of dollars to be accurate. No, it's they're called black bodies, and they are in constant temperature at the accuracy of about 0.1 degrees, and they keep constant no matter what the environmental conditions are. And that's what you need if you want to calibrate the camera when you go above them. So black bodies are expensive, and in field conditions, I don't really know many blackbodies that work.
That was another question. Are these, like, the imagery that you work with, I guess you use atmospheric models to correct to determine what the thermal, the surface temperature is, but they're not calibrated to a panel?
The data we use from airborne and the UAVs, we don't really calibrate them. We use the calibration that the companies provide. When you take the data from the camera, you have to provide the environmental conditions like the temperature of the atmosphere, the optics, and the reflected temperature. And there is a simple calibration that they do, and they provide the surface temperature, provided that you know the emissivity of what you're looking at. The data from satellites, I haven't worked personally with them a lot, but I know that there are various levels of calibration and data that you can get. Some of them are better, some of them are less, but the people who work on that, they do use some models that they are used to extract the surface temperature. I agree.
Victor, does temporal resolution, does that provide any challenges for you? The frequency of which you can get the images?
For the satellite platforms, temporal resolution was critical until the recent years. The revisit time of the high-resolution sensors, Landsat and Sentinel, was 2 weeks. It was not so applicable for irrigation. Sentinel-2 is much better and can provide information for that. There are platforms, satellite platforms, that they have a revisit time of 1 day, like MODIS, but they have a spatial resolution, very coarse spatial resolution, of 250 to 500 meters. In order to get a high temporal resolution, we need to go to platforms that they have that in spaceborne platforms, and they are getting more and more available. The temporal resolution of the airborne and UAV platforms, it has to be set according to the irrigation management, and we think that less than 1 week is not practical, because you don't really take irrigation management decisions in intervals less than 1 week, because you have to make a change, wait for the change to take effect, and then measure again. So the 1 week is the temporal scale that we think that these systems should work. We haven't tried it. My experience and my feeling is that no. When we measure the temperature of the leaves, anything that can affect the temperature of the leaves will be expressed in what we are looking. If there is a disease that it's expressed as a water stress, then we will detect the disease. Actually, all of that is provided that the limiting factor is irrigation. If the limiting factor is not irrigation, then we can detect other things. And as a matter of fact, we can use the same technique to intentionally detect other stresses, like salinity. Salinity is expressed as the inability to uptake water. So if, from the other side, we know that irrigation is not a constraint, then we can find salinity problems. If we know that there are no salinity problems and no irrigation problems, we still find some anomalies, then this we can assume that there are other things that, like pests or diseases. But as everything in agriculture, it's not simple, and one factor is not the thing that explains everything. So here, if there are anomalies, the only thing to do is to just look more in depth with other things.
Okay.